This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't appreciate your shaming, Leroy.
Wait, first of all, you got raggedy speakers. Whatever you talking
about. Yeah, your mic sounds terrible.
Your mic. And then, all you need to do right now is hold up a newspaper to show the date.
He looks like he's
And the ransom hostage. The ransom demands, right?
Hostage room.
Yeah. But
well,
that's all right. That's all right. Hey, so I watched that Lakers game last night.
Yeah, I thought everybody was gonna rip LeBron for after his interview with Pat McAfee. That Pat McAfee was his jinx.
Nah, you know what though? Like, Luka is amazing, and LeBron got to feel so good to just sit and watch every now and then. Dude been playing for 22 years. He ain't never had an opportunity to watch nothing. Now he can watch.
I mean, he watched a little when D-Wade was playing. Come on.
Come on now.
But he's 40, D-Roy. When you're 40 and you don't have to do him as much anymore.
I know.
Welcome to the Tobin Leroy Show, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, Frog Boy's messing up like Leroy called it.
I told you. Like, come on. So here's the deal. And let me tell you how I come to conclusions. We have done many remotes, right? Frog Boy has never actually done a remote with us where he posted up, put out his, you know, computer gear, hooked up, and all that. Never done. Seen Jennifer do it. In fact, me, Jennifer, and Tobin, we bring our computers to work. I don't always open mine up, but they do the show, you know, all the other stuff, the StreamYard and whatever. So they have their own laptop where they do it. So when we go on the road, it's no big deal, right? Frog Boy new to the game.
His mic's not even on. Look at him. Like, he's just so terrible right now, bro.
Amateur hour. It's amateur hour.
Unmute yourself.
What are you doing? The mic isn't connected.
The mic is connected.
Oh, okay. My God, all right. Bro.
Y'all don't know what I went through. See, y'all.
Hey, that's why he said you should have came into work today.
Can I ask you a question?
You think it's just that easy, right?
Y'all got all the answers,
huh, Sway? Why? You got all the answers, huh,
I do.
Sway?
Why you got to have a bedazzled mic, too?
Look, this
you can't have a regular mic. You got to have a gold mic.
You can't have this a bedazzled mic when you have bedazzled tech errors.
This is gold plated. I want y'all to know. Y'all wouldn't recognize this because, you know, y'all ain't got it like me.
I wouldn't recognize it because you ain't never used one.
Pretty
this
much.
Is gold plated. I do have a studio microphone, but, you know, I can't put that on camera too incriminating.
So, anyway. So,
you guys are being very judgy. I want you to know that.
It's amateur hour. What did it? Did you need? Why didn't you get it like a test run? So you knew that all your stuff would be on point.
Look, this is the backup to the backup. Again, y'all don't understand what I've been through this morning. It's a lot of judgment coming from this end.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely
a oriented man. All right. This is Frog Week, and it will not be derailed by whomever is trying to stop me.
You!
You're stopping yourself, Frog Boy.
You. All right. Hey, you know, I can just get off and let y'all handle this all 4 hours. Y'all got this, right?
Not even. Okay. No, this is not Frog Week. It's not Vlad Week. This ain't Leroy Week. You're the one. Look at you. Look at you. Oh, my God. Yo, which Sandman? Get this guy out of here.
Hey, jiggle a cord. You know how you do it. Anyway, look, he's looking all set. All right, Marcos, that's it. That's okay. Like,
nobody hears you.
We can't hear you.
What is this?
What is Lady, this? Dude,
oh,
doing?
My God.
So, anyway.
Back to the game last night.
It was, first it looked like the Lakers were going to dominate, right? Then it got a little, you know, everybody going that run. And then Luka kind of, okay, you do that, I can do this. Right?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron had some timely point. You knew he wasn't going. He had three after three quarters.
You knew he wasn't going. So you knew he was going. You knew something was about to come. No.
Yeah.
No.
And I tell you what, the way Luka, for somebody who moves as slow as Luka, he always seemed to get around folks, right?
That's a strong man.
Because he went right around, old boy.
He's strong, too. That's a strong guy. That's a strong man.
I was shocked he missed it, to be honest with you. That was probably one of his more open shots.
Oh, the floater? It's a floater. It hit every part of the rim but go in. But, hey, LeBron with the tip in. Lakers win 120-119. Snapped their three-game losing streak. It was a big day for LeBron last night because.
Old boy is – he looks unorthodox, but he can – Halliburton?
Oh, he gets his. He gets his. He's tall and lanky. That was a good and one. That gave Indy the lead.
He does kind of do the James Harden, though. When he step back to shoot the three.
They all do. But they all do, Leroy. They all follow, you know.
Wait. You know who else does it? That everybody goes, oh, no.
Who, Tyler?
Scary Terry.
Oh, Scary Terry? Yeah.
So tonight we getting back to college.
Yeah, we got Heat action as well at the Kaseya Center.
We got Heat action as well.
Heat trying to make it three in a row. Play Atlanta.
They play Wizards?
No, it's Atlanta.
Atlanta. The Wizards next week. Okay.
Atlanta. How many games behind Atlanta are we in the? Are they in the?
I mean,
playing.
You know what?
I think they're playing. They're pretty much going to be playing Chicago in the 9-10. But
are we? Are we messing with fool's gold?
What do you mean?
I mean. The win on Tuesday was really good. They look as good as they've looked all year.
All right, the Heat are four games behind Atlanta.
But if they fight like hell to get into that 9-10,
mm-hmm.
they've never had to win two games. In fact, of all the teams been to play in, they've lost one game in the play in every year.
They've always been in the 7-8.
Right.
Seeding of the plane.
So and lost the first game.
And they lost the first game.
Right. So my question is it worth it? Is it better for the Heat to be in the lottery versus being 9-10?
Well, if you're in the lottery, you have two picks, right?
Yes.
And
you see what I'm
saying? In the tournament, do you see any impactful players, players that you could plug in right now, and they will be of some benefit? Of some, they'll definitely be plug and play players, because we all know that is a knock on Spo.
College, yeah, Spo, yeah, he don't play young guy.
And if you have two players like that, obviously Cooper Flag, look, Juke Pac, 305,
plug and play.
Immediate plug and play. But the other guys that you see in the tournament, will they be plug and play guys?
There's a few guys, but here's the thing, they're all young. Right, and need some development. And you're right about Spo. Spo's had to lean on a lot of young guys in the last couple of years, and I wish he just let them get their run so that the franchise and the organization would be farther along in their development than, you know, trying to coddle them into being Heat players, because what ends up happening is they play sparingly, you know, their first couple of years. You know, they say, oh, he's trying to earn minutes or this or that or whatever. All the other teams are putting them in there and coaching them up and having them take their lumps early, because when it's time to pay them, you want to be sure. And what ends up happening with the Heat, these guys get to that first contract, and of the 3 or 4 years, they've played half that time. So you have to make that determination on less, you know, film study than somebody else would. And so that's one of the reasons why I kind of, especially in basketball, you ain't going to learn how to play against the best of the best unless you're playing against the best of the best, taking your lumps. Khalil Ware is not going to know whether he can fake and then go for the alley and stop the alley-oop, or, you know, go out to the shooter. He's not going to know that unless he gets a feel for the game and goes through a whole bunch of reps. And so we trying to coach them up and then get frustrated, you know, because they're really young. I think he might have to come off of that a little bit.
Well,
And so, because this team is the youngest that it's been in a very long time. And in order to kind of get through that and be better on the other side, you got to play these young guys. Like, I know Khalil looks lost at times. Who doesn't? We said the same thing about Duncan Robinson. The only difference is you had three guys who could D in three, you know, and Dunks had to get in where he fit in. Khalil's one of one on this team. And there's no other person you could say, oh, okay, go do what he does. You know, do it like him. Because Khalil is a unique individual and all the things that he can do. And the only thing that's going to help him progress in that is, I think, time on the court. Go ahead and let him take his lumps. Go ahead alone and say, hey, you need to be in better shape. You got to go through that. You know, not year three or four. But if you can get through that in year one or two, by the time you get to year three and four, you're going to know exactly what you do or don't have. And that's been what has plagued. Look at how many players you've brought up, you know, played off the bench. Then somebody else came and paid and got them out of there, and they go somewhere else and ball.
That's an excellent point, Leroy. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Sounds even worse.
What are you doing?
Y'all can continue to hate on Drake the same way y'all did previously, but just like my boy Aubrey Graham, I'm going to pull through with this one. Y'all not going to see it coming. 15 minutes of Heat is next with Tommy Tighe, a camera and a laptop. in 15 minutes of heat, all coming next on the Tobin and Leroy Show.
Oh, they doubted me. Oh, they doubted me, Leroy. Oh, they doubted me. Look where I'm at. You see what's going on here?
Yeah.
Your boy had to go all the way to the Fort Lauderdale Improv to make this happen. Some wouldn't have done this, you know? Sometimes people's computer gets hacked and they just don't show up for the day.
Or
oh,
you got a green screen.
True, it could be that. It could be that indeed. Hey, but yes,
can I just say this?
Yeah,
you are not allowed to do this ever again.
No. You don't understand the fact that I'm even here. The fact that I'm even making here. This is an achievement. Sometimes you know you should have lost by 40, but you really only lost by 10, and that's what we like to call a moral victory, Leroy.
No, it's not. No, you still lost.
All right, that's fair. I will take that loss like a man and know that, you know, it's not about the last play. It's about the next play. And it's about the next man that we're about to have on our show right now. It is Tommy Tighe, our boy Tommy Tighe from the network broadcast, local broadcast. Over 40 years of experience within the radio industry. Tommy, how you doing today, buddy?
I feel old after you bring that up, but thank you, Marcus. I appreciate that. With the 40 years of experience. That's why sometimes people call me a legend. The only reason I'm a legend is because I've been around so long.
Well, that works.
Age like fine wine, Tommy.
I like to think so, but I begin to wonder every once in a while. But thank you very much for the compliment. It's nice to be on with you guys.
So Tommy, this past Tuesday was the best game the Heat have played in a long time, if not all year, as far as putting it all together, nice mix of scoring and defense, and really, like, putting it all together. This was the first time we have seen this in a long time.
No question about it. I think you have to go back to the end of last month, Leroy, to be honest with you, when they laid it on Atlanta, of all teams, since we're playing them again tonight, and Indiana, and you started thinking, hey, you got all these home games coming up, and you're scoring. Then all of a sudden, it just went south in both directions, offensively and defensively. So it's nice to see. I understand who was not in the lineup the other night, but we've gone through this so many times over the last few weeks. Kawhi Leonard didn't show up. Jaylen Brown didn't show up in different games. You lost to those teams pretty convincingly. In a game like this, you had to come out there and play the way that you did. You know who you were up against, and you're right. I think at least in a while, this is one of the better all-around games this team is capable of. Now they just got to do something with it. You can't go out there and lay an egg tonight and then play against these lousy teams coming up on the road trip and expect to do anything if you're going to get to the play-in or the playoffs. But, yeah, it's a nice start. There's no question about it. They're playing well over this week. They got to keep it up.
Tommy, would you say – go ahead. Would you say that – you know, this Heat team is probably more unique than any of the teams that Spo has had, because in the last 2 years, there's been so much youth injected into this team, and you kind of really can't coddle them like you want to, because you need them to play, and you're relying on a lot of these young guys to play, and that's probably what has been part of the problem, is that we're doing old-time Heat stuff, but we don't have those veteran players that we've normally had.
It's interesting. That's a valid point, I think, Leroy, to be honest with you. When you think of Khalil Ware in the beginning of the season not getting any time, and a lot of us wonder, and I'm sure you guys did as well, when the heck is this kid going to see the floor? You drafted him number one. You're telling me he's not ready? Is that why in November and early December he wasn't playing? And now you got to live with him. And this is a kid that's making mistakes, playing well lately. Give him credit. The last four games, he's had double-doubles, putting points on the board, grabbing rebounds, which is great to see. There's no question about it. But if you're going to rely on youth, you know how often Pat Riley went with rookies? Let's say seldom to never. right? Right. That's the way you have to look at it. As you watch the Marlins go out on the field today, I'm not saying every one of them is a rookie, but you look at that batting order, and it's like back in the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid movies, Lord Baltimore was chasing after the guys, and all of a sudden they said, who are these guys? That's what Paul Newman and Robert Rever were saying. That's what I'm wondering about when you're playing young players. The average guy doesn't know who they are. People in our business don't have an idea really what to expect from them. But that's what you're hoping for when you bring in a Jaime Jaquez in his second year and his Niko Jovic, who's really improved and unfortunately has been out of the lineup for a while. But you live and die with youth, and unfortunately they're very talented, but, you know, raw in certain areas that it's tough to try to – and you played professional sports. You would understand what it's like when you had a bunch of young guys trying to do something. Sure, they've got an awful lot of ability, but it only translates on the field, and that's where anybody cares about it. Right now, we're still seeing some spots where it looks good, and there's still some spots that we noticed in that 10-game losing streak that it's not. But at the rate it's going right now, get used to it, because I think they're going to continue to go with these young guys down the stretch.
I mean, one of the things that, you know, I've seen in sports in general is that when you draft guys, and you can see this in football with quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's playing their young guys because in 3 years or in 2 years, you need to know whether you can give this guy an extension. And what's happening in basketball, especially with the Heat, guys don't really play the first couple of years. Then you got to make that big decision in year three and four. And I don't know how sure they are all the time. So would you think, like, I'm all for, and this is just the way I've seen sports kind of evolve. I'm all for, you know, looking at teams like Detroit and you look at Houston. They played their young guys and say, we're going to take our lumps. But in 2 or 3 years, we're going to know what we have, and we're going to be able to kind of solidify what they can and can't do. And I think sometimes the Heat get a little lost in that we get to year three and four and we got to figure out, are we going to give this guy an extension? Are we going to let him go? And it's a whole lot of uncertainty when we get to year three, four.
Well, you're looking at a different situation when you're looking at Houston and Detroit. They're not accepting losing. I'm not saying that they are, but to build with the players that they did, yeah, you're going to have to expect a few losses. Do you think at 601 Biscayne Boulevard, anybody here is thinking of losses, that they're going to decide to go with Pelle Larsson more often than they have over the course of the season to see if they have something in 3 years? Tyler Herro is a prime example of that. Fabulous when he first showed up in the bubble. And then the next year he comes off the bench, and he's the sixth man of the year. You do get to that point, you're right, extremely talented player. But where do you build those next 3 years after that with him? They've decided that they're going to build their boat and put him in it. Same with Bam Adebayo. It works with certain guys, and with others, it certainly doesn't. And that's the decision they're going to have to come up with a few of their younger guys down the road. But I don't ever see this being a place that they're ever going to look like the Pistons have for the last 10, 11 years. Or the Rockets, accepting the fact since the bubble that that's all right, we're going to punt a few years and come back. Philly did it. Oklahoma City did it. Congratulations to the Thunder for being one of the best teams, if not the best team, in the game today. But I just don't see that ever happening here, because the way this team has been built ever since Pat showed up here in 95, they're always going to play it this way. And not everybody loves it, but I think that's the way that you have to go with it, because it's been so successful throughout all these years.
Yeah, agreed. They're not, you know, they're looking at these young guys, and I can kind of sense it that, hey, look, we like you. We love mm-hmm. what you do, but you're costing us games, and you need to learn. The only question that I would have to that is, that was always easy when you had the veteran guys that could come in and actually produce. But with the injuries and things of that nature, you're kind of backed into a corner of having to rely on a lot of these young guys.
No question about it. I can go back to football that we both can relate to. That the team that I root for, unfortunately, these days, which has a pretty good legacy, is the New York Giants. And over the last week or so, they picked up two quarterbacks that make you think, well, is this the future direction they're going to go with their franchise with Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson? I highly doubt it, which is telling me that if you draft a quarterback next month in the first round, what are you going to do with him? Is he going to be like a Patrick Mahomes or a Carson Palmer that's going to sit on the bench for a year and learn from these two guys? I mean, which direction do you want to go when you play with your young guys? Do you want to sit them like they were doing with Ware and say, okay, we'll come back next year and see if he can play? Or do you want to see him out there? I think most people wanted to see, what the heck do you have? And I think that's what you got with Ware from day number one when he finally got an opportunity. Everybody went in the month of January, wow, look at this kid. Those lobs, how exciting is this? He can score. He can shoot. He can rebound. He can do a lot of good things. He blocks shots. Well, you wouldn't have known that if you kept him sitting there in a redshirt year the entire season. So I think, you know, you've got these new toys to play with. I think you have to use them. But, yeah, you're right. I don't see – there's no Dwayne Wade walking through the door like Rick Pitino once said about his guys in the Celtic organization. I don't see LeBron walking through this door and continuing to play with this franchise. That's the unfortunate thing that you have, you know. Times change. Players change. Unfortunately, you know, some teams decide to do it in one way and other teams will do another way in all sports. Miami is consistent in what they like to do with their franchise. Play the best players they have in an attempt to try to get to the best spot. It worked a couple of years ago. They came in eighth. Right. Everybody gave them up for dead. And look what happened. They made a run at the end that was phenomenal. Who's to say that it won't happen again? I'm not going to be the guy to do that after I've seen it once. It's not easy to do. We know that. But I get the feeling that since it's worked for how long, and I'm an old school guy, it's worked for 30 years. Why will it not work this time? I get the feeling that maybe it won't this time right at this year, but it will consistently be the formula that will work for this franchise.
And if I could read lips, Tommy, I would tell you what he said.
I said, I apologize here, Paul DeTobin, that we've seen Jimmy Butler underwhelming in his return. We've seen, unfortunately, the blood clots that are plaguing Dame Lillard at the moment. It's easy to talk about all the times that Pat Riley has missed. Now, being a Monday morning quarterback and looking at things in retrospect, getting a full account of all things, do you think that Pat Riley deserves an apology from Heat Nation?
I don't think he minds what happens because he understands the job and there will be criticism. But you look back to what this franchise was, and I wasn't living here. I'll be honest with you guys. I was living up in the New York area, and up there they kind of looked at the Miami Heat as just another team that nobody thought anything of until he left the Knicks to come down here. You went, uh-oh. Once you know that that's going to happen, and these people can feel it. The ones that have been around here since 1995 felt it. They knew excellence was coming into this franchise the moment he would walk in the door. So I'm not going to be the guy that's going to sit there and try to tell anybody how to build their franchise. This has been built the way it's been, that it's one of the most successful ones over the last three decades for one reason, and his name is on the court out there. I don't think he doesn't care if he gets an apology, I don't think. I mean, he goes to the beat of his own drummer. You know, if he makes mistakes, heck, I'm probably going to make mistakes today. Tonight, Saturday at the Philly game, on Heat Weekly, we all are capable of making mistakes. I will make my share of them over time. We all do. He's human. I'm human. You guys are. So I don't think he needs an apology like that. He knows what he's done for these people. He knows what his standard is of excellence from the Lakers to the Knicks to this point right now. I don't think he has to apologize or accept an apology for anybody.
I think these are the times where you look at, and I can say it because it's 100% accurate, but you see some of the moves that they make, and even though they're not winning as much as you want, like, you look at the results and look at the end result, even though you weren't happy when it was happening, and you go, okay, I can see it. You know, I can see it. I'm not happy. Maybe the team isn't where I want it to be. But that decision, we were better off making that decision or doing it that way, even though it may, you know, it may hurt a little bit. I think that's how I am, like, with Pat Riley, is that, sure, we all wanted Dame. Sure, there were some that said, you know, if you don't pay Jimmy, he's going to be a problem. And Pat stood stead and said, no, No, I'm not giving him an extension. And so all that stuff played out. But when you look at it now, and I said this, Tommy, Jimmy being the number one on the Warriors kind of looked like the Heat when he was here. Mm-hmm. At times, when they just didn't score. And so if I can see that, maybe Pat was like, no, we need scoring. We need somebody who's going to actually, you know, take the reins and be that bona fide number one, kind of like Tyler's trying to do now. But now you got Wiggins, who it has been amazing when he's played. And so you kind of look at the results and go, even though I'm not happy with the results, I can see where this is going, and you got to kind of feel good about that, even though the team isn't where you want it to be right now.
No, I agree with you. I think that, if you're a Heat fan, you're probably a little bit disappointed over what's gone on over the course of the season. But, you just have to look at what the track record is for what this yep. team has done in the past. Sure, I know it's a what have you done for me lately type of business in sports. I understand it wholeheartedly. I root for some of these teams that haven't won in an awful long period of time. This is one that you keep thinking that every single time you step on the floor, you're going to get what you're going to get from them, whatever effort it's going to be. I think they've done well in the last week, showing that there is some potential for what could happen over the course of the remainder of the season. But, that doesn't make you feel any better when the record is 10 games under the 500 mark. But it's been a crazy year. There's no question in anybody's mind. Injuries do play a part in it. Transactions will play a part of it. I think everybody's done the best they possibly can with what they have. But, I can understand anybody being frustrated, including the players and the coaches, for what's happened. But, they'll take it the way that it is. Play tonight. Play this weekend. See what happens after that. And, I just get the feeling that you're going to be in a decent position down the road. Whatever that's going to be, whoever you're going to get, whoever you're going to keep, I just like the position that you're in because you have the people running the show that know how to run a show.
Tommy, I watched Spo on the sidelines, and he just looks like just so frustrated at times. But then I start thinking, what was more frustrating for Spo, you think? Was it the 11-30 and then 30-11 team, or this team that just has lost games and at the end of the game everybody just stands looking at each other going, how did this happen?
Well, I can't gauge anybody's level of frustration, to be honest with you, but to answer the question to this point, 11-30, they just didn't have the horses to do anything. I think this team is much better than the 11-30 group, even though that team turned it up a notch in the second half of the year and played the way that they did. This team, from top to bottom, is a much better club than that club was. So I can't answer. I can't speak for anybody else. Can't speak for you guys or for anybody here in the organization. But you'd have to be frustrated when you think you can play a certain way, and you're not playing up to the capabilities with the roster that you have. And a lot of it's trying to get, at least in the last few weeks, getting everybody up to speed that just joined the club. It's not very often that three players come to your team at the trading deadline. A couple years ago, you had two, Love and Zeller. Last year, you had Rozier. You integrate one guy into the lineup, okay, it's tough. You try to put two into the lineup, yeah, that's a little bit tougher. Three into the lineup and replacing one of the more popular players in the team's recent history, yeah, that's extremely tough. So I can understand when it's not working. Whatever I'm doing, if it's not working, you get frustrated that it's not working. I'm sure you guys do when you're doing what you're doing for a living. And, I can't really say that one year was worse than the other, because I never look back at any one year and just say, oh, man, that year was terrible. We didn't make the playoffs. Hey, that year was great. It's obvious. We won championships. It's going to happen in both ways. I don't know for sure, how Eric feels right now, but I do know that he likes what he has at his disposal right now, and he's extremely optimistic from what I hear over the last couple games of what this group is capable of in being competitive down the stretch.
Tommy, one more before we get you out of here. We went from one losing streak to the beginning of a very short winning streak as of now. Does this mean that we are poised for another play-in? Or do you think that this team, although getting these last two victories, still hasn't figured it out and we should just be counting ping pong balls as of right now?
No, I never go that way, to be honest with you. I think that you're looking at what's going to happen. You're going to be playing another game. Now, whether you're going to somehow make it to the sixth seed, that's asking an awful lot considering how well Detroit is battling Milwaukee for fifth. So I get a feeling that, yes, you're going to continue to be playing basketball after April the 13th. Now, whether it's one game, two games, or maybe even nine games if you get to the first round against Cleveland, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, at least right now, with what you have at this point. But I'm not thinking anything. I don't think there's anybody sitting in this building right now, even the guy that's mopping the floor over to my immediate right now, that's going to tell you that he's given up on the season, that we're going to start looking to try to get the number one pick. I think everybody looks at it the same realistic way, that this team is capable of a run right now. You win tonight's game. I know it's not saying an awful lot, but you've beaten this team by scoring 131 points against them. You've got Philadelphia and Washington who have pretty much given up on the season. After that, some competitive games in the last couple of weeks. But still, if you can continue to put some type of a role together, I think you'll do well in the play-in and get to the first round. Where it goes after that, I can't even fathom myself. I'm taking it one step at a time. But I don't think they're looking at anything other than the fact of playing more basketball in the middle of April.
Tommy, I appreciate you giving us your time. I know you got to shoot around in a little bit. I want to ask one thing of you. Never change. Never change, Tommy Tug.
You reach a certain age, Marcos, you can't change whether you want to or not. Words for you guys when you get older.
Well, I thank you, Tommy.
You're welcome, guys.
Older? I'm already on the back nine, Tommy. I ain't got there's not much left.
Yeah, but you've only just made the turn, Leroy. Come on. Don't
you
there.
You don't look a day over. Right. Yeah, all you're right. Still young, Leroy. ladies and gentlemen, he is Tommy Ty. You can catch him during the Heat broadcast tonight. We take on the Hawks. You got him on the – you'll catch him on the network, the local, the network post, the local post, any possible way that you can listen to Heat basketball.
Oh, yeah, Tommy Heat Ty Weekly. Is there.
Heat Weekly, of course, every Saturday. Thank you again for joining us, Tommy. And for those who are listening, because Tommy joined us, I'm giving away four tickets to the Miami Heat game April 3rd against the Memphis Grizzlies. Four tickets, Vlad, whichever caller you feel like answering, they get the tickets. We'll be back with more Tobin and Leroy next.